Coming to you live from a life-size game of chess or possibly Pall Mall on the Monopoly board, John, which would you prefer?
Well, at least Monopoly's like the places are real.
Yeah.
Chess thing's a bit too abstract.
Cool. All right. Well, coming to you from Mayfair, then, another cigarette brand like Pall Mall. It's this week's Apocalypse. I am your co-host and pawn in this puppeteer's game. I'm mixing my metaphors now.
Ooh, aren't we all?
Yes. With me as I am... Yes, did I say my name? I don't remember. Mine's Kevin Lennon and I'm the host. With me as always is a frustrated family member, John Ferris. Mm-hmm. John, as you were just saying before we started recording, aren't board games great for starting fights?
Yeah.
Especially when one person thinks they know the rules and they don't really, and then gets mad when they start to lose because they made a mistake based on a rule that they thought existed but didn't exist.
Yep.
Yeah, as you were saying, Monopoly being the worst offender in that category, right?
Oh, definitely. That's yeah, surefire way to lose friends.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever finished a game of Monopoly.
Because it takes like 5 years.
Yeah, and like whenever I was a kid, like, we would play Monopoly, and then I would get punched, and then we wouldn't use the hotels and houses or any of that. They just sat around, and even then, even then, we never managed to finish the game because it would just turn into a goddamn fight.
Yeah.
Freaking frustrating. I'm not sure I know all the rules now because of that, but at the same time, I think I just hate it.
I think Monopoly, after a while, just becomes kind of boring.
Mm.
Like, it would be good if it was shorter, but it just goes on too long, and, like all board games are repetitive, because it has to be. There's, like, very much like video games, there has to be, like, a loop.
Yeah, yeah.
That you can constantly, but it has to be engaging, which board games can't do as well as video games, which can throw in, like, a wee, oh, here's a wee stealth section or something different, which...
There's no stealth section in Ludo. Oh, John, what's the worst board game?
The worst board game?
I think I know. I think it's Snakes and Ladders.
Yeah, it doesn't even really count as a board game in my head.
It's a board, and you have your pieces, and you roll the dice, but you may as well just flip a coin, I think, because it's just a random number generator.
Yeah, there's a lot like that, aren't there? It's probably just a variation on the theme.
Aye. Just because, like... Snakes and Ladders, or Chutes and Ladders, as the Americans call it.
Yeah.
You're not making any decisions. You're not making any... You're not... There's no real player agency.
No.
You're just rolling a dice, and then your guy moves that many spaces, and then the other person goes, and they roll the dice, and they move that many spaces. And it's just that over and over and over again until someone happens to get to the end.
Yeah.
Which is rubbish.
Do you think board games are still a thing? In the lead up to Christmas, I mean, like obviously board game enthusiasts, but do you think it's still like a family?
I think so.
Let's get together and play. Well, probably something like Clue, which is a classic.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know, but I think so. I think people still definitely try and get people like off their phones and like get around a table so they can hate each other in person.
Yep.
But like the way in which they sell out, I think, yeah, because there's a game called, it's called Ghost Fighting Treasure Hunters that every time I go to buy it is sold out.
Okay.
It's a German game. It's actually originally called, I think it's Geister Schatzenmeister is the name of the
That's
game.
That's a much better name.
I know. But then they called it Ghost Fighting Treasure Hunters for them, which I think is also a very good name.
It's not a bad name.
Yeah, every time I go to buy it, it's either sold out or someone's trying to hawk it for a ludicrous price. But those aren't the board games we have, John, because we don't really, compute on that level.
No.
We kind of only view everything through the lens of film. So what we're going to do is we're going to try and figure out what's wrong with board games and how to fix it based on movies about board games.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe we're just going to like figure out the best way to win at a board game.
Yeah.
So that then we don't have to deal with this crap.
So then we can lord it over our family and friends.
Yeah, so we've got three movies based upon board games, or based upon the concept of board games, yeah. or about people being trapped in board games. So first up, from 1985, we have Clue, directed by Jonathan Lynn, and the logline for that. Six guests are anonymously invited to a strange mansion for dinner, but after their host is killed, they must cooperate with the staff to identify the murderer as the bodies pile up.
Hey.
Yeah. Intrigue. That's what that is.
And also the first board game adaptation into film.
Indeed, yes.
Which of course, we had to put this in the list.
We had to include that by accident, didn't we? Yes, without thinking about it. Absolutely. No, we did that on purpose because it's a milestone, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep, definitely.
Yep. And then we have, from 10 years later, exactly, Jumanji, directed by Joe Johnson, from 1995. And the logline for that, when two kids find and play a magical board game, they release a man trapped in it for decades and a host of dangers that can only be stopped by finishing the game. It sounds like a really horrible board game. It's fun as a man comes out.
They're bound to have made like a real Jumanji, albeit one that doesn't result in things wrecking your house.
Yeah, you'd hope so. And then from 10 years after, it seems like this just happens every 10 years. I wonder if there was one in 2015. When did the Ouija movie come out? Did that come out in 2015? Could have been.
Probably.
But this is from 2005. We have Zathura, directed by Jon Favreau. And the logline for that. Two young brothers are drawn into an intergalactic adventure when their house is hurtled through the depths of space by the magical board game they are playing.
See, it's very, very different.
Well, completely
it's
different from...
It's two brothers instead of a brother and a sister.
Yeah, it's completely different from Jumanji. Right?
Yep. No, so, there's no man.
There's no...
Maybe.
Wait, hold on.
There might be.
Oh, yeah, yeah, John, there's no man that comes out of the board game.
Well, not in the log line, anyway.
Not in the log line. So, anyway... Let's sit down and watch these perfectly intervaled, decade-intervaled films. Let's sit down and watch these movies. All right, John. So, I think you did it in your living room with something that was easy to wield.
A cat.
You did it. John did it in the living room with a cat.
That sounds wrong.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, perhaps not.
I think
well,
you end up on a list with us.
I did it outside in my coat.
Candlestick's always the one that stands out in my head for Clue.
Yeah, that's the one. That is always my first thing that I think of when I think of Clue. It's always Colonel Mustard in the library with the candlestick.
Yep.
Is the literal order of that. Yeah. So, yeah, this is Clue. This is an interesting one. Not just because it's, as you rightly pointed out, the first board game adaptation into the movies. Because it's kind of an insane concept when you think about it, to do that. And yet it has happened several times since then. But the thing I love about this, there's something we need to establish first about the meta of this movie. Because it's not necessarily in the film. But it is in the film, but it's something I wasn't aware of. Even when I originally watched this movie way back when, not to necessarily spoil it, but the ending of this film is really weird, unless you know the meta of like the sort of the story of how it was marketed and released. So this film was released in three different forms.
Yeah, there's three different endings essentially.
Yeah. So depending on what they sent out different reels to different cinemas and or multiples of the different reels to the same cinemas, and depending on what showing you went to or what cinema you went to see Clue, a different person did it.
Yeah,
potentially. It's a really clever way,
brilliant
to
idea,
scam people into going and seeing a movie multiple times, whether or not they really loved it or not. they might still, based on the crazy fucking, that crazy permutation, might say, I want to go again so I can see all the other ones.
I mean, that's a select few. I think if you went and seen this and you didn't enjoy it, regardless of what ending you got, you would just be like, yeah, it's rubbish. Like, yeah, I don't think maybe the ending would change your mind about it. Although, yeah, I do think this movie, as it progresses, gets better.
Aye.
The more unhinged it becomes.
Yeah, it slowly gets more crazy as it carries on, and therefore is better as it carries on. Which I think is that, like, that decent pacing, I would call that.
Yes,
it sort of continuously ramps up into where it ends up is mania.
Yeah.
By the time it's finishing, it's manic.
Because I always start this movie and, like, think, fuck, is this as good as I kind of remember it being? Because I enjoy this film. And then about, like, 20 minutes or so in, I'm like, yeah, this is great. This is just,
at the beginning, you're like, oh, I don't know. And then by the time you're halfway through, you're like, this is kind of cool.
Yep.
And then by the time it's over, you're like, it was fucking mental.
And Tim Curry is just amazing in it. Tim Curry is the lifeblood of this movie.
Absolutely.
Like, he carries so much of it. When he starts, like, because he's kind of like the audience surrogate as well, where he's the one working it out.
He's the detective. He's also the narrator.
Yeah.
He's also...
he's so many hats on.
He's so many. He's also somehow the puppet master in a way, because he's the one who's telling everyone what to do and what's happening.
Yeah.
And then he's also loudly working things out as he goes along to everybody. And it's very special, this film.
Yeah.
I think this is a special movie. The thing I would say most about this movie, and I wasn't surprised when I looked up the director's credits, I wasn't surprised to see that a lot of it is theater.
Yeah.
When you watch this movie is very theatrical. This movie often feels like they're playing to an audience.
Yeah.
It feels like they're playing to camera in a way that works.
If you had
a
big enough stage or like some kind of like rig that could set up,
like
it would work really.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the stage like turns or something, and like there's a new weed, like you have the billiard room or whatever. Like, it would work really well.
It'd be so complicated, but I would love to see that. Oh my gosh, that'd be brilliant.
That'd be fantastic. But especially as well, like it doesn't shy away from, you know, it rips heavily on Agatha Christie stuff.
Yeah.
Like, so much so that like there's literal scenes lifted. But again, because it's a comedy and it's almost satirizing it, it works in its favor, because I think, especially at the time, like everyone kind of knew murder mysteries as kind of Agatha Christie type, you know, like Murder on the Orient Express type things, which again, you know, you're gathering the people around in one room, there's a dead body, it's like everyone has a motive, and there we go, that's it, that's Agatha Christie all over.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a complete piss take of a Poirot.
Yeah.
Except there's no Poirot running around. It's as if it's a group of people who just don't know which one's the murderer, and it's just so daft and stupid. And when it's funny, it's campy as fuck.
Yep.
But it's almost funnier because it's so campy.
I mean, like everything like that, there will be people who bounce off that just because of the campiness. But if you're on board with it, it's great. You just enjoy the ride, because it just gets, as we keep saying, just gets crazier and crazier, and the bodies pile up, and you're just like, as soon as anyone new comes into that. But it's not even like, that's not even a spoiler in the sense that, like, the board game, you know, the main characters, the ones that you would play if you were playing this board game, are going to survive. And that's it. The whole point is, like, who is doing these murders? And so you do know that anyone who comes in is like, uh-oh.
You're doomed. You're not Professor Plum, and you're not Mr. Green, and you're not Miss Scarlet, you know.
And the great thing
you're this other person.
The great thing is each of the victims gets killed by a different implement in a different room.
Yeah.
So it's like they've almost kind of covered every scenario, albeit not who did it.
Yeah.
But that's the thing I wouldn't spoil.
Yeah, indeed. Well, it's,
even with the three endings.
Even the fact that there's three different endings.
Yeah.
But I think that's the thing, like, it is really, really great as it goes on. But the best part of the film is just when Tim Curry has cranked himself up into high gear and is literally running around like a headless chicken,
yep,
shouting all of his lines while he explains that the sort of while he sums up everything, and they do it in this amazing way where even if you haven't been paying attention for the whole film, the way he's running back and forth throughout the house and describing everything means it doesn't matter that you weren't paying attention. Yep. It's how he's going to tell you where everybody was and what was going on and where how someone got from this place to this place without these people seeing, and what was going on at the same time in this room, in this room, in this room, while he's running and running and running and sweating like a goddamn pig. And like, it's amazing.
I almost guarantee, I don't know for certain, but I would almost say like 100% sure that the endings probably don't make sense, but even that doesn't matter because of the pure silliness of the whole thing of like, she couldn't have ran into that room because she was with him. There'd be something like that, but
there's parts where they're saying, oh, well, when we were at this place, one of us wasn't here. No, they were all there in all the scenes, but it doesn't matter.
No.
Yeah, because like if you go by the endings, like the three different endings, and that's a different person who wasn't there every time, and you'd notice if all three of those people weren't there during that scene.
Yeah, especially some of them are like right up at the front when the camera goes to them.
That is half the cast. Yeah. It's like there's no way they weren't there.
And speaking of the cast, I mean, we already mentioned Tim Curry being fantastic, but I think everyone fills their roles like to perfection in this, and
absolutely
there's a lot of like comedic actors, so the comic timing's very good in it, and there's not like a weak performance either. It's just it all just works incredibly
I like Michael McKean quite a lot,
Mr. Green.
Yeah, there's a really funny, stupid joke. He gets like the last line in the last ending, and it's so dumb.
Yep.
It's so stupid to have that thing where he's like basically like his big secret is, oh, I'm a homosexual, and they keep making this thing out of it.
Yeah.
And then the way they end it is so funny because it's so brazenly stupid.
Yeah.
Stupidly, I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife. And you're like, yeah, okay. That's so fucking dumb.
But I like that they don't, like, there's a danger, especially of a movie from the 80s, of like that being like going over that line where like we get it, he's a homosexual, and like this is set in like the 50s, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. It's so set like, during the Cold War anyway,
so
yeah,
it makes sense that it definitely
it's
is
like
because
early days of the Cold War, they're talking about developing a neutron bomb,
so yeah, back when they did think, you know, homosexuality was some kind of big evil, because no one does anymore. Oh dear.
Nope.
Oh dear.
Oh, hold on.
Oh yeah.
Sorry, did we just accidentally slip into an idyllic dimension? To Earth.
Yeah. Whoops. I keep doing that. I've built these mental walls around.
I go to
the nice place, but so like it makes sense, but they don't like dwell on it. They don't like. They kind of make jokes about it with like the other characters being uncomfortable, so it kind of puts it on them, and it's like, okay, I can appreciate that.
Christopher Lloyd, like Professor Plum,
yes,
like, doesn't want to sit beside him,
who's made out to be like a womanizer. So, I think it works very well, and just the characters are great.
Yeah, this film is excellent. It's stupid as fuck. Again, the only problem would be like, if you started again with like, I mean, if you go to a cinema, and you sit down in your goddamn seat, and then you're just there for the duration, usually.
Yeah.
But the problem with these days, old man comes crawling out of my skin. With the all streaming future that we now live in, like there is a real possibility that somebody could put this on, watch the first 5 minutes of it, and go, "Oh no," and turn it off. You know.
Yeah.
Which I think is it would be a shame. Because of the way it's paced, there's no like punch at the beginning.
No.
Of, like it's not silly enough right away to get people, which it seems sad to say, but like that might turn a lot of people off early on, and then they never get to the part where it, because it takes a while to ramp up.
Yeah, because I think just kind of to kind of back up with yourself almost. I think it doesn't do a great job at the start of, like, I think what it's trying to do is set it up in a serious, like, almost this is a real Agatha Christie type, you know, murder mystery, but uh-huh. it's still adding the kind of wee bits of foolishness that don't kind of land at the start. Whereas I think if they went super serious maybe at the start and then mm-hmm. it got progressively silly, it might have worked. But just what you're saying, like something to hook in, like where you're going, oh, this, you know, either they go for the, you know, intrigue of the, this is an actual murder mystery, or just go, look, this is what this movie's going to be, and have it be a bit fucking bit more crazy and then calm it down and then ramp it up.
Yeah, it does take a while. I think that's the thing, is it takes a while before there is a body.
Yes.
Yeah. Before Mr. Body becomes the body.
Yep.
But I love that his name is Mr. Body, because literally as soon as he says Mr. Body, you're like, oh, well, that's the person who's going to die then, because his name is Mr. Body, because he's the body. It's so fucking stupid and delightfully so. Oh, an absolute gem of a nonsense, campy piece of crap. It's so good.
It's so good. Yeah. And it's well...
Everyone's like, so funny.
And like on the production side of things, it's well directed and the lighting's great. And even just what you said earlier, like, and the lighting helps with this as well, like where it almost feels like a stage a lot of the times. Yeah. That kind of fits in with this like weird board game come to life feeling, which, you know, because this is the least board gamey kind of board game to adapt in that kind of way, where you can like use Agatha Christie type things as a crutch. You can use all other murder mysteries as a crutch to like kind of go, we'll just make it a murder mystery. But I like that they didn't do that and they went, let's just make this fucking bonkers.
Yeah, let's literally put in all of the props from the game, like all of the, like literally every murder implement from the game and every room from the game. They looked at it, they got out, it's like they got out the board from the game and went, right, we need to make this into a set and we need to put a story in here and we need to have all of these different elements. Every single element from the game is in there.
And everything
is in there.
Even the secret passages, I read this, that the secret passages lead to where they lead to in the game.
Yeah, they're all in the right places. Yeah, they so come out like, in the right rooms. Yeah. Which is a lovely attention to detail. Yeah. And yeah, it just shows that like that's somebody putting a real effort into writing something.
Yeah.
That's something someone sitting down and going, this game's cool and I want to make that into a movie because I like this game. Mm-hmm. And I like it. I haven't played it alone. Now, we don't call it Clue here, John.
No.
We don't call it Clue because that's a real word.
Yep.
No, we call it Cluedo for some reason.
I don't know.
I used to think it the other way around. It's like, oh, Clue, that's a stupid name.
Yep.
Why would you call it that? It's called Cluedo. But now that I'm an adult and can think rationally, I'm like, Cluedo's a fucking stupid name.
What one came first?
I assume the American one, and then someone wanted to rip it off, but I don't know, and I'm not going to sit here in the middle of a podcast and do live research, because that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
I know we have done a little bit of that here and there before, but I feel like this is going to require a little bit too much reading and me tap, tap, tapping on Wikipedia to figure that out. I mean, I think they're the same game.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they are the same game.
I think it's both. Is it Parker Brothers, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know.
I think it's Parker Brothers, but I think they're both that, so they are the same game.
It's the kind of thing I'd like to play again. Like, I haven't played it since I was a kid, probably, but...
I remember being really precious about when we had it, because the way you would play it was you would get... There was, like, a little notepad, and it had on it all the characters listed, and all the weapons listed, and all the rooms listed, and little checkboxes, and you would, like... It was like kind of like a set of post-its, almost like a thick set of post-its, and everyone would get one of those, and you would use that to like tick things off, so you would know what you had established and what you hadn't.
Yeah.
I remember not wanting to play it simply because I was really precious about. I was hyper aware that the number of those was finite, so there was only a certain number of times you could play the game before you ran out of those. And I bet they had some kind of weird way for you to like order more, or you could probably just make them yourself. But I never thought of it in those terms. I always thought of it as, oh no, we can only play this so many times and then we're out of equipment.
I would say now there's probably an app or something that you just use.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you could just get a little PDF with checkboxes on it. I could kind of make that myself.
Which kind of ruins it in the sense that, like, I like the idea of, like, you know, sitting there with a physical notepad, like
with
some kind of
pencil
wee...
pencil! Yeah, with a... in your hand.
Like a wee investigator going,
Yeah. Yeah, that would that's what makes it like a weirdly unique board game in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Well, for me and from the board games of our youth, I mean, you get crazy board games now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, they have all kinds of weird rules and like ones like where people are werewolves and dumb shit like that. Or games are like a lot of games that are, well, in many ways it's kind of like board games got to this point, especially board games for adults, where they all just became about lying to the other people in the room.
Well,
like every board game was centered around being like, oh, I'm not going to let you know that I'm this thing that I am. Not, they all
nothing,
seem to be
nothing
that.
Prepares you for adulthood, like lying.
Like lying through your goddamn
like
teeth.
Like lying
to, get what
to
you
your
want.
Loved ones.
Indeed. that's just having a family. So, yeah, this movie's great. It's silly. It's extremely theatrical.
Yeah.
I think the fact that it's like, as soon as you get accept that, oh, this is like a play, mm-hmm. this is like a silly play, and the audience is in on the joke, in a way.
Yeah.
Then it becomes a great experience to sit down and watch. And the way the endings play out is silly.
Mm-hmm.
In this format,
and I appreciate, you know, as well that you know, the version I watched shows you all three endings kind of one after mm-hmm. another. But you can, I think it was the DVD, you could get that, you could just shuffle it so you would get a random ending.
I would hope that someone would use the DVD technology to do that, because that seems like the most fundamentally obvious advantage of having this movie on a DVD would be just play me a random ending at the end, please.
Yep.
Instead of the version of it that I always saw, which is where it says, but this is what really happened.
Yeah. It's almost like
maybe this happened.
It's almost like a Monty Python thing. It's like, or maybe it happened like this. It's like almost like that now time for something completely different thing.
Yeah. 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 And I think it kind of works because you get to see all of those, you get to see that great Tim Curry performance over and over again. But like, modulated slightly mm-hmm. in a different way, and I really appreciate that because he's fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
So I do like watching all three endings one after the other, just because I think if I just saw the one, I would then want to go in and watch the other two anyway.
Yeah.
So leaving it like the way it is, I think it's probably still the best way to do it.
It's a brilliant marketing scheme as well.
Aye.
Don't know, that would have caught me as well. Don't know.
Yeah.
Especially because we both enjoyed this. You'd be going, what ending did you get? And then you could actually ask the cinema what ending they had.
Uh-huh.
So that, like, you know, well, they just said A, B, or C. So you could actually plan it out and go, right.
You could figure out, oh, this is one I haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
okay. That
kind of makes sense as well, where,
get
more money out of them.
Yeah, but it is a good way. You get, anyone who likes this film will come back and see it again and maybe a third time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Although apparently the film still didn't do well when it came out.
Yeah. I can imagine that too. I can easily imagine that because it's so odd that, like, I can't see it doing well. But I mean, I've seen this film, and not, I don't know how many times I've seen this film now. This is maybe the fifth or sixth time I've seen it.
Yeah, easily.
Because I definitely saw it a few times when I was a kid and maybe like, and a few times as an adult. So I've maybe seen it like six times maybe. And it's still really good, and it's still stupid, and it's still fun, and absolutely, I am 100% in on this being the right way to adapt an existing board game into a movie.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what you would do to adapt something like Monopoly or something like that into a film.
Battleships.
Oh, yeah, they
there
did
is,
do
yeah,
that,
there's,
didn't they?
There's a Battleship.
Oh, I'm so glad we didn't pick that one to do, because I remember seeing the trailers for that.
Specifically
like,
did not go near. There's aliens and stuff in it for some unknown
Liam
reason.
Liam Neeson and is it Timothy Oliphant is in it and Liam Neeson?
Rihanna's in it, apparently.
Is she?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Brilliant.
No, we'll have to watch it.
No, we'll have to watch it because Rihanna's in it, and you know our policy regarding Rihanna. Absolutely. And on that note, I think it's time we move on to our next film. Fucking drummers, eh? Drummers, the root of all evil, would you say, John?
As soon as you hear drums, run.
Indeed, as soon as you hear drums just on their own, you're like, oh, okay, right. Here we go. Ugh, time to move house.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, yes, Jumanji, John. A film I never liked. Even when I was a kid, I never liked Jumanji.
So you're saying 10 years after Clue, they didn't make a better board game movie?
No, they didn't.
Even though they didn't have to be shackled to the actual physical board game, because this is all make-believe.
Indeed. It's all make-believe, yeah. Jumanji from 1995, directed by Joe Johnson. Let's read the logline. When two kids find and play a magical board game, they release a man trapped in it for decades and a host of dangers that can only be stopped by finishing a game, the game. The exact logline that could also be used for the next movie. Exactly. You could literally put that on the next film and it would be accurate. But anyway, John, Jumanji, what did you think of Joe Johnson's directed Jumanji? It's
kind of boring.
Yep.
it just doesn't work, even with like Robin Williams is well known just for like adding excitement into anything he kind of shows up in.
Yep.
And I did read that apparently the director was a wee bit worried that he would ad-lib too much, because he's known for doing just a lot of improvisation. They should have fucking let him.
Yeah.
I think it would have been an infinitely better movie.
It's another one of those cases where, remember the last episode when we watched the Super Mario Brothers movie?
Yep.
And I asked the question, why did they cast these people?
Mm-hmm.
Because they cast a really great ensemble cast who are very talented, and some people who like have done amazing voice work in the past and stuff like that. Yep. And they basically stop them doing anything, give them nothing to work with, and didn't let them off the leash. And it questioned, like, though, I don't know why Jack Black was in that movie. I don't know why Charlie Day was in that movie. I definitely do not know why Anya Taylor-Joy was in that movie. There was a character with no character, and she was not able to land it character. And
she's a blonde, pretty lady. So, I mean, she has to play the Princess Peach, right?
Absolutely, John. That's shitty fucking Hollywood logic. And John, I do not know why Robin Williams is in this movie.
No.
I don't know why you would go, let's put Robin Williams. Like, because Robin Williams is, you know, he does the zany thing, the cocaine thing. But he can do beautiful, dramatic acting as well. Sometimes, even in those roles, he does go a bit like, there's a touch of that, but usually it's there for a reason, like something like The Fisher King, which always moves me.
Yep.
Even saying the name of it.
Yes.
Even saying The Fisher King.
I'm tearing up right now just 'cause you mentioned
something inside me. You know, but then you've got like there's a whole bunch of other films like Awakenings or something like that. You know, he's very like these very serious films.
Yeah, and he can put on the creep factor, like and one of course, photo
or Mrs. Doubtfire. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Which. Yep.
Yeah. Which That's is one of which those is one of the worst just horror films ever made. You know, it's just oh my god.
There is actually you can find on YouTube they redo the
did someone
the
do a creep version of the trailer? That would be so easy to do with that film as well. Yeah, I could see that, no problem. Yeah,
I think it's the same guys who did Jaws as a buddy comedy.
Yeah, I always like the one for Big, which basically just seems like it's a movie about a child predator,
which it
kind of is.
Yeah, at the end,
yeah, the whole thing with the woman in it. It's just so. Anyway, we're not gonna get no big digressions this week. We'll have big digressions, but not digressions about Big.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know why Robin Williams is cast in this film, because he's not got anything to do. Everyone else is whatever, you know, they cast some child actors. Kirsten Dunst is, of course, in this film as one of the children mentioned in the logline, the brother and sister.
Mm-hmm.
and then everyone else. I kind of the guy, what's his name? As a Jonathan Hyde, who plays his father, and also for some reason a weird hunter. Never really get into why they're the same person, but I mean, I guess it's supposed to be a metaphor for his like inability to. So his weird image of his dad and all that stuff.
Yeah, they could if they'd lent into that and like kind of written it better, that could have been something. But as it stands, it's literally just he looks like your dad as well.
Yeah,
read some deeper meaning into that.
Yeah, but. At the same time, this movie's really dull.
Yeah.
I find this movie boring. I always find this movie boring.
It's literally just like, you know, they roll the dice, something happens involving jungle animals.
Yeah.
They get out of it, they roll the dice again, and just rinse and repeat. It just, like, constantly like this, and I don't think the actual character of, Joel Barish, or what do you call
him? Alan Parrish. Joel Barish is from Eternal Sunshine and Spotlight.
Oh, yeah.
It's Joel Barish.
It's a much better character, but
it's an incredible film that we shouldn't talk about when we're talking about a film like this, because it's just going to make it seem even worse. Because that's a film that's all about crazed imagination and dream logic and stuff like that. And this film does not explore that nearly enough.
No.
In fact, the thing I find most disappointing about this film is after he comes out and he starts talking to the kids. Mm-hmm. About what it's like in there, he doesn't describe, the way he describes it is not like it's just a big dumb mania jungle.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about it being a nightmare, and this, like, the way he describes it almost sounds like a cosmic horror, like hellscape.
Yeah.
Like the other dimension in Hellraiser, the way he's talking about it. But it's just a jungle with rhinos and vines and plants. Maybe the plants might eat you, okay, fair enough. But it's just giraffes and elephants and rhinos, and there's a lion.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's not imaginative at all, but I guess it's a kid's movie, so you can't have, like, betentacled monstrosities and, like... S&M pervert demons. But
you want the pinhead to be floating about in there?
Almost. I was kind of on the edge of that, being like, oh, the way he's describing it, it's actually really creepy.
Yeah.
But then you're like, oh, it's not that. It's not that at all. It's just a jungle from a fucking adventure novel.
And I found that Alan, the way Alan's written...
Mm-hmm.
And like you have to really fuck up to do this, where he's not a likable character.
No, he's a dick.
And he's kind of, I think they're wanting him to be, and that's why they cast Robin Williams, but he can't even lift this terrible arsehole of a character who, it's like, and like, especially it's this rich kid, and you're like, whose decision was it to make this, like, rich kid who his main problem is that he's...
Too rich.
So Richie Rich is getting bullied for being too rich.
Yeah.
And he won't even, like, say to his dad, oh, I ruined that guy's project that he spent years on. Like, he has no backbone whatsoever and blah, blah, blah. And, like, you know, you're meant to go, okay, but that's what happens. He goes in here and he learns to be a man, kind of thing. But it's just really crap. It just doesn't work. And it's just like... I can't identify with this character at all.
No. And then
they try to do this thing where, like, they have, like, almost like a father-son relationship with him and the male kid that rolls the dice in the 90s. Yeah. And it comes out of nowhere. It's like almost everyone starts looking at him going, oh, you should be nicer to him or something. And it's like he looks up to him. He's like, when did that happen?
It's after he turns into a rat boy. Yeah. Which he did not look like. I think he was supposed to look like a monkey, but I looked at him and I just saw rat.
Yeah.
The tail looks like a rat. The face looks like a rat. He just looked like a rat running around the place.
My wife was like, I always hated that. When that started happening, she's like, I always hated this bit of that movie. But I felt more sorry. The only character I actually felt sorry for and felt some kind of could identify with was the auntie, who had no part to play in this, but suffered probably the most. Her and the cop suffered the most, even though they were trying to help everyone, and they had no hand in any of this nonsense.
Yeah.
And then
they were victims.
Yeah.
They're just victims and nothing else.
And then at the end, I don't even care about spoiling this because it's dumb and you kind of know how it's going to end.
Yeah.
But at the end, when it's all happy and like everyone's like, yay, we fixed time as well, apparently. The auntie is not even acknowledged as being anywhere. Like,
yeah, what happened to her?
Yeah. You know, so she just was once she is not involved with the kids, she is inconsequential.
Yeah.
And it's like, but why even have her in the movie?
Yeah, she's just, well, she's in the movie because kids have to have tragic backstory that gets fixed at the end of movie.
Yeah.
So they have to have a guardian.
And also, what job does she have? Because how does she afford that
hat
mansion?
Her job is hat.
Hat? Oh, right.
She wears hat.
She wears
that
hat.
Is job. She wears hat and coat, and that is her job. I don't know. But she's always got to go somewhere to do something important.
Yeah.
And can't be there to make sure kids get on school bus. So then kids play board game.
Yep.
And then chaos ensues. And CG. And the CG's not terrible.
No,
it's not
for
great,
the time.
But it's not glaringly bad, and it's fine. But at the same time,
I was laughing at the practical effects of the spiders that just like,
oh, actually, you know what?
Jiggle them about a bit.
That was they looked atrocious. They looked absolutely balls.
The design wasn't bad, but just the way they tried to make the move, they just shook them. Like they seemed like they didn't. Like they couldn't move their limbs independently,
they were just solid rubber things that got jiggled around, and it was really obvious that they were being jiggled around by hand by someone, and they looked absolutely atrocious. Because whenever spiders turned up, I was like, "Oh, spiders! John doesn't like spiders. He's gonna have trouble with this." And then I saw them, and I was like, "Oh no, no! This is not gonna inspire arachnophobia in anyone."
No.
Because they're so brutally unconvincing. Like, they look absolute trash.
I think the first shot of like one coming down the web is like, ooh.
Aye.
And then like instantly it shows you like it shows too much, where if they'd been more subtle and maybe like just shown like a leg here and there, and like you go, oh, they're about to, and I don't like that. Especially they're in a big cluttered attic, so you could have arranged this shot so that it was like given the illusion that there's lots of them and they're going to strike at any time, but no, they just went, let's show these big stupid rubber fucking yokes.
Exactly. Yeah, absolute garbage, John. And I don't care about Alan Parrish. Alan Parrish is a jerk. Alan Parrish does not deserve to be saved from the Jumanji jungle.
No.
Alan Parrish can rot in hell, as far as I'm concerned.
And it actually makes you appreciate, not that I didn't enjoy it anyway, but the Jumanji, what do you call that one with The Rock in it, basically?
Oh,
that
reboot one.
Yeah, the reboot one. Like, that's actually a pretty good idea of updating this whole idea, and it works better as
a
video game
analogy.
Yeah.
It makes it significantly better, because you know what they did in that one? They let the comedy actor do comedy. Whereas in this, they made the comedy actor be just like a dour, bitter, unlikable, spoiled brat.
Yep.
And it just sort of continues to be that for the whole film, and screw that guy. Again, Alan Parrish can rot in hell.
And like, especially like Robin Williams, you know, because he comes out of Jumanji, which is apparently is this hellish fucking nightmare.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
And he comes out and he's pretty normal, apart from when about shouting a wee bit. And you're going, you have Robin Williams, who's fantastic at acting unhinged.
His
range
is incredible.
Yeah, like, get him to act like a fucking lunatic for the rest of the movie, and like, just tell him, right, we're rolling, and just do something, and he will fucking delight you, and it would have been a fucking great movie, but.
What are you going to do, It's too late now.
I think it was kind of groundbreaking at the time with effects, wasn't it? I think there was stuff with the rhinos specifically coming through the bookcase, I think was
That still looks all right. All that stuff kind of still looks all right.
Like
all
that stuff, I mean, I suppose it has its place in history for that, in the sense that like it was a stepping stone for a lot of effects and things like that. But I think other than that, still a lot of people seem to like this because they watched it when they were kids.
When they were young. And so, I mean, so, yeah, there's a bunch of people who, when they were like seven, saw Star Wars Episode One, and we'll talk now about how it's great, even though it's a boring trash fire.
Yeah.
This isn't a boring... This is better than Star Wars Episode One, though. So I'll give them that.
True, yeah. At least there is action in this, and there's like, you know, it is... I could see why kids enjoy it, but as soon as you get of any age where you're looking more than just kind of the spectacle, and even the spectacle in this is kind of subdued and...
It's muted.
No one feels in danger at any point, even though there's very dangerous things supposedly happening.
Yeah.
But...
And we have a scene in a gun store. That's not... You don't get that. You don't get a lot of scenes in gun stores in children's films, do you?
No, no.
So I'm going to appreciate it for that, that there's a point where a man's murder implement... isn't good enough, so he needs to go and buy a new modern murder implement. Yep. And then we get a nice scene in a gun store in a kid's movie where someone gives someone some good advice about the best thing for murdering people.
I mean, kids have to learn sometimes.
Unfortunately, John, that is not actually a joke.
No, that's apparently scary. True.
Oh God! Anyway, that's Jumanji, John. I don't think we liked Jumanji.
No. I mean, yeah. There's nothing really. At the end of the day, it is for kids. Like it's that kind of thing where like it's really shallow and it's really like the book. Apparently, Alan Parrish doesn't exist in the book.
Huh.
But I don't really know. I don't know the books well enough. I don't know the books at all, to be honest with you. Read that he was the addition that the studio put in. And it's like, it feels like it. And it feels like whoever put him in has no concept of, like, is so rich that they don't understand. Like, because I was more obsessed with the house. And it's like, how the fuck does anyone...
That they live in?
How does anyone afford this fucking house?
Yeah, they live in a mansion.
And then she got the house done up. So the auntie Nora, I think you call her, got the house all done up, apart from the room that Alan used to sleep in. For some reason, she
perfectly preserved as it was 25 years before.
For some reason, she decided not to open that door and go, yeah, that's another room for us. Sweet.
Yeah. Well, he's going to have his emotional scene later where he recognizes all his old crap, right?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Wasted potential, I think, is the main problem with this. Is like, you got Ron Williams on board. You have all these effects. All the effects and all, as we keep saying, are great.
Yeah.
You had the elements there that I think if you'd just not been so shitty and been like, no, don't let him do his own thing.
Yeah.
Like, could have been much better, but...
It's a waste...
Oh, well, it was successful, so what do we know?
It was successful, but it was a waste of Robin Williams, and that...
it's criminal.
That is a crime.
Yep.
Yeah.
Go to jail.
Go to jail, do not pass, go, do not... Please don't make $1 million, but you made many $1 million, so it's too late. Shit. John, we're in space.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's all right, John. It's nearly over. Let's just talk about the third. Now, John, I'm going to read the log line for Jumanji again. because Jumanji is when two kids find and play a magical board game, they release a man trapped in it for decades, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a host of dangers that can only be stopped by finishing the game.
Mm-hmm.
That is also the plot of Zathura.
Yep.
Two young brothers. They're more specific in the log line, but that log line can absolutely be applied to this movie. Two young brothers are drawn into an intergalactic adventure when their house is hurled through the depths of space
by the magical board game. Is adventure the right word, though?
Yes. I mean, I guess... There's no agency on their part because the house is just going and things are just happening at them.
Yeah.
Even in a film like Willow, at least they're willingly going on the journey.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to say this, John. I think this is still a better movie than Jumanji.
I disagree.
Oh.
Well, I wanted to rip my fucking eyes out.
Oh, my God.
bludgeon my own fucking ears so I couldn't hear shit. These terrible, terrible fucking actors.
Oh my
those
god.
Those fucking kid actors who, honest to fuck, there's an episode of How I Met Your Mother where Neil Patrick Harris's character, Barney, hires actors to be his family.
Yes.
And the young actor who, child actor he gets to play his son, keeps trying to get a catchphrase and is annoying as fuck and like keeps winding up Barney because he keeps going, Tyler, no likey. He's like, dude, you're not getting a fucking catchphrase. That's what the youngest brother in this reminded me of. Everything that he said, I wanted to slap his face. And this is like, it suffers from everything Jumanji suffers from.
Yeah.
But tenfold. And like,
oh, wow. Okay.
Everything is just so fucking boring. And it seemed to go on forever. It was like, it's like, how long is this? Like an hour and a half or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
And it honestly felt like 3 hours of my life. I was ready to fucking bludgeon myself to sleep.
Oh, my.
I fucking hated this.
I was not expecting such a visceral, visceral hatred.
I had fucking nothing. I was, honestly, I was getting angry. The second half of this, I was just like absolutely raging because it's like, how is this film so fucking long?
Yeah, there is a point where they sit in a cupboard and describe things that are happening. Which I thought was a terrible pacing faux pas where there, well, it seemed like it was like, it almost seemed like one of those things where it's like, the movie wasn't long enough and we need to shoot an extra scene. We need to shoot an extra scene, but we don't have any money. So why don't we have the characters sit in a cupboard while someone walks out of the cupboard and then describes over a radio a thing that's happening and then we don't have to actually produce that piece of film.
So slow.
Which absolutely boring. Happens. Oh. I think maybe, I do think this is, I find this more palatable than Jumanji.
Really?
I did, yes.
I don't even know how. I was actually coming out of Jumanji going, nothing can be much, it can't be much worse than Jumanji. And I was shocked. It defied expectations of that anyway.
I don't know. I think it was maybe just because instead of being cribbing from ripping adventure stories from the 1950s, it was trying to be like a sci-fi adventure from like the 1950s in a way. And I think I just liked that idea better. I also kind of really like the look of the little board game.
That's okay.
I like that. I like how the board game looks.
Yeah, it looks more like a real board game than Jumanji, which looks too fancy.
Yeah, it looks designed to be thrown the fuck around by kids, which it is often.
I like
the concept more. You know what? I think it's maybe that I was able to just sit back and just switch my brain off this time. Instead of being annoyed at bored by Jumanji, I was like, all right, I'm just going to let this happen. Maybe.
I'm shocked, though, because I found it even more boring than Jumanji, where, like, the brain was already well and truly switched off. Because I watched them kind of in succession. Maybe that might have been my mistake.
Your mistake. I had them a day apart. You see?
Yeah. Well. Mm-hmm. I kind of went in going, right, it's not going to be much different from Jumanji, but it couldn't be worse. So the brain was already switched off and was like, just take it for what it is. Jumanji's kind of got me ready just to kind of go, whatever. And just, it starts off with those two brothers just arguing constantly. And that's like fucking nails on a chalkboard. And that happens many times to the point where like that fight they have over one of them cheating is just like, is this fucking for real? It's like, Jon Favreau, what the fuck are you playing at here? You fucking hack.
Oh my gosh.
Aww. And then Dax Shepard just, like, I kind of, when he came in, I was like, okay, he might be all right. And there's nothing to do really until the reveal later. And you're like, okay. There was a weird, I don't know, the weird kind of like, 16-year-old Kristen Stewart, is not her name? Running about, scantily clad, yes. Was a wee bit strange. I was like, this is bizarre. This seems borderline.
Yeah, like, and then they have the whole incest thing.
There's
a whole weird incest thing that's completely unnecessary.
And it still has that Jumanji problem of like, oh, hit the button.
There's nothing like a Jumanji problem.
A Jumanji problem.
That's like the kind of thing you say when you've just been to the gum clinic and someone and you come home and your mate asks you, well, how was it? And it's like, well, I've got a Jumanji problem.
I have a Jumanji problem. Just put your ear to my pants.
I've got one of them Jumanji problems. That's just not discussing any further.
Is that drums coming from your dick? This was a piece of shit.
Bloody hell, all right. Well, I feel bad for not hating it as much as Jumanji now. But I didn't hate it as much as Jumanji.
I'm still shocked. I don't know.
I think I just like the concept.
You just like space.
Yeah, I like the concept of just a house hurtling through space, but everything's fine.
I love space, but it's shocking how they could make space boring. This is very, very much for kids as well. There's nothing here for adults again, which is why the kind of rebooted or sequels of Jumanji work, where it tries to play both audiences. It goes for a bit of nostalgia.
It successfully plays. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So let's just talk about Jumanji. Welcome to the Jungle.
Yes, yeah,
yeah. Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. I think it was called.
Jack Black plays a teenage girl. He's so
good at it. Oh, let's just talk about that movie now. Yeah, so yeah, what a great film. I love. I think The Rock playing like a nervous, like, 17-year-old or whatever.
A nerdy teen
who's not comfortable in himself and is fully, fully awkward and doesn't know, is not terribly social but would like to be. I mean, he plays that so perfectly.
Because The Rock doesn't have fantastic range, but if you get him in the right role, and that's, like, it seems like it was written for him and possibly was, you know.
Yeah. The whole bit, like, and Karen Gillan is amazing in that film.
She's fantastic.
It is so funny. The scene, especially like her and Jack Black together, are incredible.
Yep.
The scene where Jack Black is trying to teach Karen Gillan how to flirt with men the fact that it's so amazingly funny and awkward, and then you're excited to see what happens, and then what happens is even better.
Mm-hmm.
When she actually goes to try and flirt with the guys, what happens is incredible. It's so a fantastic physical performance by Karen Gillan, where you're like, this is not cringy. It's just really, really funny and stupid. That whole film is so good. And I kind of wish we would have been able to watch that if it was like sucked into a video game
something. There's probably enough movies about that as well.
Tron would be fun. There's one where I don't know if it really counts as sucked into a video game. There was one, maybe they do go into it, there's a really awful one that I watched all the way through. I can't remember what it was called, but it had Frankie Muniz in it from Malcolm in the Middle.
Oh, yes.
The Malcolm child. Yeah. He was in it. A bunch of other people. I can't remember who else was in it. But it was about basically a multiplayer online game that was haunted. But it was made like not long after Malcolm in the Middle finished. So it was like in the mid-2000s, I think.
Yeah.
And it's rubbish. But it's about like the game's haunted and it's a multiplayer game. And you die in the game. You get the ghost kills you in real life or whatever. I don't know if that would count as one of those.
I'm surprised more didn't come out after the success of Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Because, like, you know, these movie studios are always very quick to jump onto that stuff. Of course, you have, what do you call that one? The Ryan Reynolds one? Or he's a character that...
Oh, that extra guy?
Yeah.
That looked like that. Fucking terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
That looked really bad.
But, yeah.
There's also, actually, there also is one that... Actually, saying that it's a movie about someone being in a video game is actually a spoiler, because it's a reveal towards the end of the film.
Yeah.
But there's a film, I'm going to spoil it. It's a movie with Matthew McConaughey in it.
Oh, yes.
I believe it. Is it Mud?
I think so. No.
Is that the one?
No, that...
Or Beach Bum, the Beach Bum.
Beach Bum.
Mud is a different movie that is not at all about that. No, that's totally not off. There's a movie called The Beach Bum, where I believe the twist in it is that he's an NPC in a video game, and that's why he's this listless layabout with no motivation.
Yeah.
But I think it's, like, not revealed until, like, the final act of the film.
Well, it's if it still can't entertain without the, with that being revealed, then it's a shit movie.
Yeah. Speaking of Zathura... because I don't think Zathura was good. I just had a better time with it than I had with Jumanji.
Fair play to you.
I mean, neither of them are anywhere near on the level of Clue.
No. Showing her hand a bit early, as always. Yeah,
so I think we should probably just get through this, because, like, we'll just say that because we've barely talked about Zathura, really.
It's hard, especially after Jumanji, where it's like, it's the same film. It suffers a lot of the same problems.
It is literally the logline for Jumanji could be applied to this movie with no edits.
Yeah.
And be accurate.
And I mean, okay, the effects and all are okay for what it is. This is 10 years after Jumanji, so it does look a wee bit more polished, but it's still kind of like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, it's still not good, and I'm still probably never going to watch it again.
No.
But
I definitely won't. Honestly, I can't express enough how angry, even though I think it was the last 20 minutes, whereas I think at this point it was just going, just end.
Yeah. To be honest, like, at the end of the movie, all they should have been doing was just crank the thing, push the button. And that would have just got them through.
I know, yeah, because they even have moments where it's like, oh, I'm not going to play. And it's like, oh, I'm going to kick that child into space. I'm going to kick the child into... And they don't even have consistency, where they mention at one point that, oh, you know, that we'll run out of air in the house or something. So you're like, oh, so that is a concern. And then they're out in space, breathing in space, and you're going, why is the air a concern then? It's like,
no, they're literally standing out on the porch in space and everything's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't make any sense. Oh. My God. Yes.
Fuck.
I think another problem with this film for John is that the child actors are all it's got for the lion's share of the movie.
Yep.
At least with Jumanji, you have Robin Williams there, and you have Auntie Nora running around the place.
Yeah.
And then you have the lady who's Alan's childhood friend there too. You always have adults around for the most part, whereas in Zathura there are long stretches where it's just obnoxious children.
To rest this on those children's shoulders, and they're fucking terrible, is beyond.
Yeah, they are being deliberately obnoxious as well.
Yep.
Especially the wee one.
Yep.
He's Tyler just... O'Likey.
My God. Okay.
And then, like, even, like, you're kind of sitting there going, I was convinced Christian Stewart was going to be in it more.
She's kind of
like Auntie Nora, in that she's just there just for things to happen to. And then at the end, it's like, yeah, it doesn't matter about her.
Yeah, she's there, but she's not there, because for most of the film, she's just frozen.
Yep.
And does nothing and stands in the bathroom. Sometimes she slides down the stairs and has to be carried back up and put back in the bathroom. But for the most part, she is frozen until she comes out to be attracted to a man and act like a damsel in distress and have no agency whatsoever at any point in the film or do anything. in a way that makes you wonder why she's even in it.
Yeah.
Except that Tim Robbins needs to not seem like a terrible father who would abandon these children on their own when he goes out.
Oh, fuck. When they start like shouting at him about him having to work for an hour. Oh,
yeah. I mean, I think they're supposed to be terrible children, I think. So I'm going to say that they do a good job of illustrating how intolerably terrible his kids are. Why they're annoying and why they need to learn to be better people.
But even at the end, I feel like they didn't, or they don't show that they learned that lesson well enough, or they don't communicate well enough that, you know, they're better, or you just don't get it. It's just like
you get the shot of them playing happily together.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, out of nowhere, they don't really get there gradually. It's just sort of there. Oh. I give it a week, and you'll be down in A&E again with them. You'll be in the emergency room with one of them bleeding from the side of his head, and the other one going, "I didn't do it. I didn't mean to." Yeah. So fair enough.
Oh no, they're shooting at us. The amount of fucking lines read like that. And that's on fucking Jon Favreau. Let's be clear, because just get another take. Just do something with that child. Or if that's the best they can do, get another child actor. Because holy fuck, the amount of times it's like, "I'm annoyed with you." That's not an emotion, you fucking shit.
Oh my god, alright, okay. I think we're going to need to end this before I need to call some kind of like counselor or something.
And people ask me why I don't have kids.
So to sum up, John did not like Zathura. Jesus Christ. John, did you know that chess is like life?
In what way?
In that there's a king and there are castles that move around and horses that can jump over like a bunch of people and
bishops move diagonally.
Bishops only move diagonally. Did you know that, John?
Oh yeah, well I've seen enough bishops.
Yeah, chess is like life, John.
That's how you escape them.
I just came up with that.
Yep.
No one ever used that metaphor before and ran it into the ground.
You're like some kind of poet or something.
Yeah. Is that the quote-unquote best board game, John? Is the best board game chess? Or it's the one people kind of, always... Yeah, it's the one people would point to.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose, like, overall... But, like, it doesn't have to be your favourite in that way.
Yeah,
it's
very well balanced. It's a well balanced game, I think.
And there's still, you know, like the competitions for it are fierce, and it requires a lot of thought and a lot of forward thinking and strategizing. I suppose, like, you know, it's not the same. Like, that's very different to like a Monopoly where you're. You lose a lot of agency in Monopoly.
Yeah, to the dice.
Yeah.
Indeed. There's no dice rolling. There's no random element to chess.
Yeah.
Except for there's actually a really good game.
I don't know how to play, like, you know, Chinese checkers and those kind of ones. And backgammon, isn't that one? And
backgammon is a game that I have always had a board for and looked at and been like, what is this game?
Yeah.
I've never learned to play backgammon, which is Chinese checkers. Chinese checkers and backgammon are the same game, I think.
Okay.
Right? It's just a different name for the same game, right?
Yeah, the wrong person here.
Like, and I can play drafts, as they say, or regular checkers, I think, is what people, Americans, call it checkers. Whereas I would call it drafts. My dad always told me it was called drafts.
Yeah.
So that's the one I play.
I think over here, definitely in Ireland, I think we all know what is drafts anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, much in the way that there's Clue in America and Cluedo everywhere else. But I think Clue makes more sense as a name.
Yep.
Yeah, there was a really funny... Somebody did try to do... There are these guys who invented Chess 2, the sequel to Chess.
What about in like Star Trek, where they have the...
Oh, the three-dimensional chess? Yeah, four-dimensional chess. It's four-dimensional chess. Yeah. It's got like three or four tiers.
Yep.
They get progressively smaller. Is that a real game?
Someone's probably made some kind of version of it. That's
some Star Trek nerd who's really good at like game design has probably actually made that thing into a practical game.
I mean, like on a smaller scale, there's someone who made in Discworld, as you know as well as I do, there's a game called Thud, which is very much like a chess type of game.
It's based on an actual Scandinavian game, I think, isn't it?
Yep.
That's called something similar. I don't remember the exact... It's a one-word name, I think. Mm-hmm. Like a one-syllable name again.
And someone went to the trouble of working out how it would work in the descriptions that Terry gave in the
way
books.
He talks about how there's like... You got the dwarves and the trolls, and there's more dwarves and less trolls.
Yep.
But in the hands of the right player, the trolls are actually a better side to play. Yeah, that stuff I always find really fascinating in that book. Mm-hmm. Like, there's the secret club that they have where they all play it. And man, that's such a good book. Oh,
it's such a
man, Thud is brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, Mr. Shine, him diamond, John, him diamond. Oh,
don't.
Oh, what a great book.
Could always use this opportunity because it came up naturally to say that Discworld is 40 years old.
Indeed.
As well, this month.
Yeah, that's really cool.
The Colour of Magic came out in 1983. In November. So, awesome. Wow. Awesome.
Well, it is December now, John, so miss that.
Actually, I forgot,
It's just over 40, and just over that's 40. Pretty cool. It's a really good excuse to go back and read them all again. And get all the way up to Thud.
Like we need an excuse.
Yes, get all the way to Thud, and then beyond.
Yep.
To the Shepherd's Crown.
And then go buy a Thud board.
And then go buy a Thud board and try to figure out how to play it and see if it actually does work. Because that is kind of fascinating that someone's done that. I'm kind of curious now.
Yeah, there's always people out there who are like smart enough and know these things. Like just have those minds that are almost like those weird puzzle traps that can work this shit out and make it happen. And it's similar like programming and video games. You know, there's people who are just very, very good at thinking their way logically into these things, and it's fascinating to see. And I love stuff like that where you can sit down and play this really complicated board game that maybe plays a lot easier, but when you look into the minutiae of it, it's like, how the fuck did someone come up with this?
Yeah, yeah. Like, and you look back and you go, where did someone start with this
Even
thing?
Even with chess? Like, I mean, why does the knight move like that? But
but somebody obviously had other pieces moving in a specific way, and were like, you know what would work here if it did this, and then was like, oh, okay, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh, this is really complex now, and I go, oh wow, what a great game, yeah, that's kind of awesome. So yeah, John, which was the best movie? The best movie was Chess.
Clue.
Yeah, obviously, right. Yeah, so out of Jumanji and Zathura and Clue.
The real board game was the better choice.
The one that's actually based on the board game from the real world.
Yeah, it seems imaginary board games are boring as fucking pish.
Yeah, like when you look at like the boards in both Zathura and Jumanji, there's not a lot going on.
No.
They're both just... It's straight. They're essentially straight lines. They loop around and stuff, but I mean, they may as well just be one long straight line.
It's like the kind of board game type things that sometimes came on the back of, I don't know, they still do, used to come on the back of cereal packets, where it's just like a series of squares, and they kind of bend them a little to make it seem exciting, but it's like, that's literally not. Just roll a dice until your piece ends up
It's not like the path forks at any point.
Yeah.
You are just following a straight line. They just curled it around to fit on this fucking rectangular shape.
Yeah, as you mentioned earlier with Snakes and Ladders, it's just there's no agency. You're literally just throwing a dice until someone wins.
Yeah, it's not like as far as I know in Chutes and Ladders, you're never making a choice. You're never making a choice to go up the ladder or down the snake.
No.
You know, you're just like, you hit it and that's what happens.
So.
Yeah, absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
awful. My review of Snake, if we had to like compare Yeah, so that's the skill.
We should do a board game episode then.
We should like play Geister Schatzenmeister, and then we'll see how we feel about whether or not chess is the best board game after that. So that's the scale we're going on.
We could play like the Mansions of Madness. Always good to get an excuse to play that.
Oh yeah, it was so good, it's such an
endeavor though.
Oh, it's such a mission, and then you gotta like go check the errata to make sure that like you on the forums to make sure that like you're correcting for the things in the game that aren't balanced.
Yep.
Or that have maybe been broken, mm-hmm. you know, and they have need. It's like going to find the patch, almost every time you want to set it up. But it's really, really cool. I mean, I have it. I can see it from here. Actually, it's over in the corner of the room. So on a scale of 0 being chutes and ladders and 100 being chess, we got to like place all these on there. But before we do that, John, yes, what's the best movie? The best movie is Clue. Clue is a wonderful piece of theater.
Mm-hmm.
Both Zathura and Jumanji are
not
plodding and lacking in agency is a great sort of
some,
way.
Sums them up pretty.
They don't
definitely.
In Jumanji. They don't really. Sometimes they just avoid. They're just avoiding the thing until they can get to the end of the game. It's just we're avoiding the lion. We're like at the very beginning, the girl runs away from the bats, and then that's it.
Yep.
There's stampede. Avoid the stampede. There's a man with a rifle who's trying to murder you.
Mm-hmm.
Avoid him. Just avoid, avoid, avoid.
Yeah.
Really, there's not much clever. That's the thing about Zathura is that at least they're like being like, right, we got to figure out how to get around this thing or get rid of this thing for a lot of the time, whether or not you liked it or not.
I don't know if I would agree with that. That's
they have a slight amount more agency than the people in Jumanji. All right, that is just I think so. Not a lot more, but a bit more.
Most of the time, they just cower in the fireplace.
Yeah,
and then when this shit happens, they just press the button again, unless one of them's having a hissy fit, which happens often. Yeah, which is usually the case.
It is a long string of hissy fits. But yeah, Clue's great. Clue has wonderful performances.
Yep.
Extremely campy. The script is ludicrous. The jokes are terrible, but they're kind of funny because they're so rubbish.
Yep.
There's a very funny thing towards the end. Every time somebody says, now there's one thing I don't understand, and someone behind them will go, one thing? Just one thing?
Yeah.
Because they're acknowledging with that joke, they're acknowledging that it doesn't make sense.
Yep.
And that the conclusions that Tim Curry is running around and saying are happening don't actually make sense.
And I love that each ending, Tim Curry is revealed to be something else. Spoiler warning, I suppose. But one of them, he is just the butler who happens to be pretty good at kind of working mm-hmm. things out. Next one, he's like an FBI agent or something. And then I think it's the last one, is it? He is
Mr. Body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's kind of awesome. And then that allows Mr. Green to kill him and declare that he killed Mr. Body with the pistol in the
He killed him in the, I think it was the library with the revolver,
library,
is it?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Or no, it's in the foyer because it's in the front room.
Yes,
it's in the,
yes.
Whatever that room is. Yeah. But yeah, there's a whole thing with Colonel Mustard with the wrench in the library, I think, etc. Yeah, so they cover a lot of those things. It was this person with this person in this place.
Yeah,
and that's delightful because that's the thing you shout when you think you've worked it out in the game. You're like, I declare that it was Colonel Mustard. I think that's what it is in Bill and Ted. Again, we're bringing it back to Bill and Ted. Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. When they're playing against the Reaper and they play Clue. And he says it's Colonel Mustard in the library with the candlestick. And then they're like, no, it was Professor Plum. And then, yeah, of course, then they have to go back to Earth because, you know, the seventh seal. So, yeah, it's a great game. It's the fact that it's a good board game that they have weirdly accurately somehow turned into a movie.
Yeah.
That is at the same time entertaining. Now the other two are almost the opposite, in that it's not a real board game, but it's in the movie and it's affecting the real world. It's sort of the inversion of Clue in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, they're just not. Also, not the writing just isn't there with either of them. It's like they had a base concept. It's like, oh, wouldn't it be funny if you were in the board game? But then they don't do anything with it, which they would then do a lot better with in something like Jumanji: Welcome to the Jungle.
Yeah, I would suggest to anyone to just watch that over.
Yeah,
either Jumanji or Sathura.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a much better film. It's very, 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 very funny and silly, and it's a well-written comedy.
Yeah.
Unlike Jumanji and Zathura, which are not well written and aren't funny. Like, Jumanji's not funny.
No.
I don't know. Is it a comedy? Do you think it's supposed to be a comedy? Or is it just supposed to be an adventure film for kids? And we're brutalizing it a bit too much because it's just an adventure film for kids.
In the genre, in the wee genre section in IMDb, it says adventure, comedy, family. So,
okay.
If they're going to say it's a comedy, then someone obviously thinks it is.
Do you think they just slapped the word comedy on it because Robin Williams is in it?
I think that's the trap I almost fell in when you first asked that question. I was instantly thinking, yes. And then I went, but wait, hold on. It's just because Robin Williams isn't there. Like, I wouldn't call Fisher King a comedy.
No.
But it actually has funny moments in it.
It's funny, yeah, but it's not a comedy.
No,
yeah.
It's fucking heartbreaking.
It is absolutely heartbreaking.
Watch Fisher King instead of Jumanji.
Yeah, up comes Terry Gilliam once again to break our hearts and this great movie.
We're just obsessed with the Terrys here.
Yeah, we are, aren't we?
Terry Gilliam and Terry Pratchett.
Both of them just keep coming up. Where did John Carpenter go? Hey,
oh yeah.
Hey, I haven't talked about him in ages.
He's never far. He's
never far from my heart. What's the great video? I think was it you sent to me, or maybe it was a friend of ours sent to me about it was John Carpenter trying to play the Halloween theme on his Nintendo Labo.
Yes,
this thing is terrible.
I highly recommend that to anyone because he's not impressed at all.
He's not at all impressed with the Nintendo Labo, and that's a man who plays a lot of video games. Yep.
And I almost want that to be like a feel. I want to find out that was Nintendo went to him, hoping that this was going to be a good wee publicity thing. And it's just like him going, this is fucking shite.
This thing doesn't fucking work. At least he had the sense to not be constantly smoking in that video. That is the first time I think I have seen John Carpenter without a cigarette in his mouth or in his hand.
It's just not right.
Like, all the special features on the thing, DVD and everything, he's just sitting there smoking. Any interview I've ever seen with him talking about anything, he's just constantly smoking. Man, that man should be long dead, and he's still alive, and I love that he's just still going. And that he loves basketball and plays video games, and that's what he does now, and that's fine.
Yep.
Yeah. So, hooray for John Carpenter, and hooray for Clue, the movie. Mm-hmm. Directed by Yes, this is Jonathan Lynn, who has done a lot of theater stuff, and seems like good on you for converting something, making something that it also directed My Cousin Vinny, which is another film I think
brilliant. Nice.
But like a great like I want to see this as a play now.
Yeah.
I would love to see this as a play. I'd love to see this as a play and then have them do their own ending that is even different from the film.
Yeah.
That would be cool. And maybe they have a different thing every night where they change who it is.
Apparently,
every single night, it's a different murderer.
Apparently, there was going to be an ending for each character to fit, again, the board games theme. But
so much.
Yeah, that's why they didn't do it. It would have been like a 2.5-hour long movie, which...
I think the way they get around that is, right, the third ending is we're naming everybody as a perpetrator in some way. That feels like a way to get around that. We got, right, one ending for these two people responsible, and then one ending this person's responsible, and then this ending, let's just get everybody in, because we can't shoot, like, six or seven endings for this thing. That's insane. They would have lost even more money. It definitely would have been a turkey then.
Yep.
But as it stands, this is the best board game movie, easily. I haven't seen Battleship, but I saw the trailer for Battleship, and I will never watch Battleship unless I'm forced to by this show.
Yep.
Which may actually happen. I think it's on one of our lists. It might be on one of our lists. Yeah,
we'll worry about that later.
Because it's an alien invasion movie, which is stupid.
Oh, there's more alien invasion movies than that.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, like, the fact that it's an alien invasion movie is ridiculous because it's the Battleship movie. But anyway, yes, so Zathura and Jumanji, I think, are both shite.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we can disagree on that. We may disagree about which one is worse.
The level of shitness.
The level of how shit each one is definitely a bone of contention, but not that much, really.
No.
Because we don't like either of them. But, John, which of these games gives us the best sort of idea, and I know that it's Clue, of, like, the best sort of way to win a game or... What constitutes good game design?
Yeah,
well, I think it's Clue again.
Yeah, because Jumanji and Zathura, as we've mentioned, are those type of shoot and ladder games that just calling it shoots and ladders, you know, snakes and ladders. There's no agency in them. You literally roll the dice, something happens. Well, in those ones, that something happens.
Something happens or nothing happens. Yeah. Well, in Snakes and Ladders, you either go to a space that's grand,
or you
hit a snake, or you hit a ladder.
Ooh,
yeah,
exciting.
Yeah, and that's it. And you just continue to roll dice, or one single die, is it, over and over again.
The more agency you have in a board game, the better. Like Clue, you're actively trying to work. There's actually another game.
Yeah, you're deciding where to go and who to converse with, and then what to ask them about when you get there, like, what do you have?
There's actually it's a ripoff of Clue, a board game called Mystery Express, which is actually quite good. Mm-hmm. It's set in a train, obviously invoking
of
the
course.
Orient Express nonsense. And it's pretty I've played it, it's probably a while ago now, but I've played it more recently than I've played Clue, and I remember really enjoying it. And it's exact same idea, but it's got that same, you feel good trying to work out the modus operandi, as they call it in that one, to make it sound fancier. But you're trying to work out who, with what, and why, and there's some fun about that. I just think the more, and like we mentioned, Mansions of Madness, where there's a lot of agency in that. That's almost like an RPG.
Huge amount. There's almost too much agency in that, to the point where I have never, ever, 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 ever played that a game of that where we actually stopped the evil. Every single time, everything went horribly wrong. The doomsday clock ran out, and everyone died.
Yeah,
every single time, but it was still fun to try. The journey
you
is
get
fun.
Close, which I think it might have been. Again, it could be something to do with like the patching in inverted commas.
Whatever one it was, we worked out the one where I got closest was like right before the doomsday clock hit midnight.
Yeah,
we were like, "Oh, it's in the basement! It's in the basement! It's in the basement! We need to get into the basement!" And then it was like, "We don't have a key."
Yeah.
And then it was the doomsday clock ticked over and the game ended. And I was like, oh, shit. That was the closest I ever got in that game. But it was still fun.
Yeah.
It was still a lot of fun. So that game. So all in all, it's like, Mansions of Madness, better than chess.
Yep. in some ways, yeah. I love a wee bit of Mansions of Madness.
Is Clue or Cluedo better than chess, John? Ooh. I think I would rather play Cluedo.
Depends.
Or Clue than chess, maybe.
I occasionally do. Like, I'm crap at chess, which doesn't help because anyone who's even slightly good will destroy me.
There is a game called Very Bad Chess.
Yeah.
That you can play that is fun, where it's got all the it's like a different permutation of pieces all over the place. So like one person will have like four knights.
Oh.
And no pawns and stuff like that. And it's like, I think it's like you can get it on your phone. It's pretty good. It's very stupid. but it's fun.
Okay.
I would recommend that for Android.
Yeah.
I think it's on Android. It might be on iOS only, actually, but I've definitely played it at some point, and it's pretty cool. So as far as board games go, and again, there were people, there is an extant game called Chess 2 where people did, these people at this university actually tried to figure out a sequel to Chess. And I heard that it's all right. But I think chess has been so embedded in the culture of the world mm-hmm. for so long that it will never be supplanted, no matter how many extra dimensions Star Trek tries to put on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're stuck with it. Like,
definitely.
And that's okay, because it's pretty good. It's like being like, you know, oh no, I'm stuck with Tetris. Tetris is still class.
Yeah.
Tetris has been around forever, and it's fun. It's one of those proto games that's like, this is so simple in its concept, but yet the slight permutations are what make it amazing.
Yeah.
And fun and interesting. Much like chess, although chess, yeah. Chess, the Tetris of board games. There you go. Oh,
Jesus.
I know Pong is older and so is Breakout, but Tetris is this just this weird sort of thing for me where it's like, no, that's the one.
Mm-hmm.
When someone asks me about like, what's the proto?
It's still the one that gets like replayed and replayed and replayed.
Yeah.
And, you know, Pong, see much about nowadays.
No, you don't see like Pong 99, or you don't get like Super Pong or Pong this, Pong that. Pong was Pong.
Yeah.
And that's kind of it. There was a weird Pong RPG thing or something where somebody was like, oh, here, you play one of the paddles in Pong and it has like a story and stuff. But that's not real. That was almost a joke.
Yeah.
But Tetris, I mean, there was that Tetris, the game that came out a couple of years ago. I can't remember what it was called, but I played, it was Tetris Infinite. Maybe it wasn't Tetris Infinite, it was called something else. But it was like, it was all like, the music was crazy in it, and it was all light up and stuff, and it was nuts, but it was still basically Tetris. You could play it in the PlayStation VR.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was happening in front of you, and the music was crazy intense, and it was fucking awesome, but it was still basically Tetris. They're still putting, my point is, they still put out Tetris games.
Yep.
And their class.
They just gussy up the wallpaper.
Indeed. And chess will last forever. Clue or Cluedo is cool. I haven't actually played it in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of want to play it again now.
Yeah. Maybe we should work out some way to get it and play it.
Yeah.
Soon.
Although I kind of like the idea of this other one that you've mentioned here, the train one.
Yes, the Mystery Express, I believe it's called.
Mystery Express. Yeah. That sounds fun because it sounds like it's that. But because I think like I played a lot of, a fair amount of Clue/Cluedo when I was a kid, and I think maybe having something that's maybe
it's probably
the same idea but a bit different.
Yeah, it's probably a bit more polished. I'd say like,
yeah,
I could see playing Clue and being like, oh yeah, it's not as kind of good as I thought it or as I remember it being.
Yeah,
nostalgia is a hell of a thing.
But the movie, great.
Yes,
absolutely, cannot fault it. Except maybe in that it might not grab people early enough. Quickly enough, maybe.
Give it until the first murder, and then...
Yeah. Once people start dying and people start screaming, it's fucking great. Absolutely brilliant. And yeah, there we go. The best example of game design as well is Clue. Because the other ones are just boring, straight line, nonsense games. All right, we are not on Twitter, and we will never be on Twitter. I haven't deleted the account yet.
Nice.
But I will... if I can be bothered downloading the Twitter app just to delete it.
Don't.
I know. It's just sort of sitting there stagnating. But stuff that. Anyway, we have a website. You can go there, thisweeksapocalypse.com, and we're here. Hi. Continue to subscribe. And again, we're on Instagram, This Week's Apocalypse, of course, which is where I do everything now, basically. So go and enjoy that. Follow us there for stupid excerpts of this show, basically. get on there. And John, I think, again, as I said at the start, I think you did it. I think it was in your living room, but you weren't sitting down. I think that's worth mentioning, actually, that you've been standing for this entire show. And to be honest, it's created this real imposing kind of feeling with me.
Yep.
where I feel like I almost shouldn't be like hosting anymore, and that I'm some sort of
I'm asserting
pretender.
My dominance.
You've fully inserted your dominance over me, but I think it works. You've got that real voice of God booming quality now, yeah, and it's kind of excellent. And I think we should continue in this fashion in the future.
Well, so, for the sake of my back, I probably will anyway.
Yeah, well, fair enough. Well, I am 100% behind you on that, then. You go ahead. And if we can escape from this board game, that I don't think we were ever trapped in a board game, but whatever. We'll be back. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another sequel to chess.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we can do that now because of, yeah, it's chess, but it's also a murder mystery. I think that would be fucking class, yeah. Actually. Yeah, so let's do that. All right, bye.
Bye. Where's the bishop?